The Man with Two Mothers. The Man with Two Mothers. This man could not be who he was without them both. We would not have a type of Christ without them both. But one of them raised him. One of them raised him. And if I ask you this question, don't say the first name that comes to your mind. Okay? Or you're wrong. Who was Moses' mother? And don't you say Jochebed. Ronnie, you're smiling. You got it yet? She gave him life, but she did not make Moses the man he became, did she? Think about that. Who raised Moses? Who raised him? Pharaoh's daughter. A few years ago, I venerated Leah. And then I venerated Bathsheba from the pits of the tradition that we've been thrown into. Who gave us Solomon, who raised Solomon, who also gave us the proverb about the virtuous woman. It is believed by a lot of Bible scholars she is the one that put that. I realize no mother gives her daughter the name Bathsheba, but I'm telling you right now, she got a raw deal on that one. And this mother, I've never really ever heard mentioned. Have you? Other than she went down, grabbed the baby, and that's it. But there's more to the story. There's more to the story. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. I love this one. I was sitting in my chair Thursday going, well, saying, Lord, give me another one of them mothers. And I'm thinking, because last year it was Lois and Eunice, my grandmother and my mother. And as I got into the first part of the week, just nothing's happening. Brain's in lock. Nothing's happening. And I'm thinking to myself, man, running out of time here. And then come Thursday, I think it was Thursday. I hope it was Thursday. I'm losing track of time. It was either Thursday or Friday. I'm pretty sure it was Thursday. It just dawned on me. One of the most important mothers in the Bible other than Mary. Do you know who Moses is? Do you know who he is a type of? I venerated Leah because Leah raised the other type of Christ in the Old Testament. Who was that? Joseph. Rachel didn't raise him. Rachel died. He was a child. Leah raised him. He was who he was because of Leah. And here we have another mother that she's just been lost. And I was like, Lord, am I just looking for this? And then God just gave it to me. It's like, no,
It's there. It's there. We just need to stay off the surface. Go a little deeper. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Who did this? Who sets kings up and puts them down? God Almighty does. Because God Almighty has had enough of them being where they shouldn't be, in Egypt. And this is the start of it. The start of it is a new king who didn't know Joseph. That may be what brings a revival about in America. We may get a king who hates God with every fiber of his body, and we might see some persecution someday. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, he said unto his people, the Egyptians, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And his whole purpose for the bondage and the slavery and the tasks that they were given and the treasure cities that they built was to get them out of the land. So who's behind this? Really? God is. The same reason why something happened about 80 years ago that moved the people back to Palestine as well. Well, that's a loaded one, ain't it, Steve? Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sapphira and the other the name of Puha. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. I like this next verse. But the midwives did what? Feared God. That's why in America today there's an abortion every second if you put that abortion clock on your phone and watch it. Every second. Why? Because there's no fear of God anymore in this country, or very little of it. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. They fudged a little bit here. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. But notice what God does with the midwives that feared him. He blessed them. He blessed them. They said, we're not following this king's rules. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. He blessed these women for what they did. And Pharaoh charged all his people. In other words, I ain't going to get any cooperation from the Hebrews, so I'm going to lay this on my people's. It's going to be my people's responsibility if their neighbor has a man child to take care of business. And that's what he's doing here. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river. And every daughter, ye shall save alive. Chapter 2, verse 1. And here's where we get going. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Something to be said for that, particularly with our young people. You don't marry outside of your faith. It's got to be right there. You marry outside of your faith, you got heartache coming. Big time. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now this is Moses' birth mother. And I'm not going to take anything away from her. You know why? Look at what she does. Look at what she does. When she saw that it was a man child, she hid him. What did she do? She did the natural thing. Mothers in nature will protect their young, won't they? I watched when I was riding my bike one time on top of that mountain over there. I watched a doe cross the road, about from here, twice the distance of the back wall. And I was thinking, man, there's going to be another one, and I don't want to whack it. But what came next was the fawn. And I watched it cross the road, and I was like, that's cool. So when I got to where I saw the fawn cross the road, I was thinking to myself, it's got to be right here. So I, and I walked back, and the mother saw me, and then what did she do? She took off, hoping that I would do what? Pursue her. She left that fawn, but she left it to what? Protect it. If she hung around the fawn, the predator's going to eventually find the fawn. So she's gone. And it took me 15 minutes to find something. It was right there. I'm standing on the road looking for this fawn. And it's right there. And I was like, look at this thing. I have a video of it if you want to see it.
And yes, I pet the fawn. That was cool. And no, the mother won't abandon it. Oh, wives' tales.
She left it to protect it. What does Jochebed do? What does Jochebed do? She has the natural love of a woman and the protective instinct of a woman when it comes to a child. And my response to that with a lot of mothers today is, where is that today? Where is that? There's no natural instinct to protect anymore. These kids raise themselves. Well, of course, there's a couple mothers in there that probably do right and do. I shouldn't paint with such a broad brush, but I'm telling you right now, the majority don't. And there's a monstrous majority that would throw their kid in the river. Just like here. Not Jochebed. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. Boy, that goes back to someplace in Genesis chapter 6, don't it?
I do not have time to preach that today, but there's a salvation message in here, just like there is with the ark in Genesis chapter 6. But I can't go there for lack of time,
because it's Mother's Day, and if I keep you too late, you're all going to hate me.
And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. Notice the wording here. Think of the detail that's taking place. She laid it in the flags. Did she just set it out on the river and go, bye? No. She put it where it wouldn't float away. Why? Because if nothing happened, guess what? She's going back for it. She didn't set it adrift. God don't set us adrift. She protected that child, and not only did she put it there in the flags, look what she does. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and her sister and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And she set a watch over him. This is a mother. I'm going to give Jochebed her due, okay? And I'm doing it right now. She's a true mother in every sense of the word. She hides him. She provides a salvation for him, a way of escape. She puts him in the flags so that he doesn't float away. And she sets a watch over him. This is another message that I'm telling you, all the points are there. I'll do it another time. It's salvation. It's salvation.
Verse 5. Interesting. Verse 5.
The number 5. Grace.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river.
And guess what? Jochebed knew every single time she did that, the day, the week, the month, and the time. Do you think this was chance that Jochebed put it in the flags at that location? Now, it's possible that God led Jochebed to do this, but this was all a plan. She wouldn't put it there and set a watch over it to see what would happen if she didn't know that there was a large group of women coming down to the river every day or every other day to wash there, knowing a woman's instinct to protect an innocent, helpless child. This is Jochebed's mind as a mother. Man, what kind of mother is that?
That's the kind of mother that we need. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And notice who saw it.
It wasn't the maidens. It was Bithia. Because that was her Hebrew name. And don't ask me how I got it. I did a lot of digging in Jewish history. Okay? You got to trust me on that one.
It was Bithia. You know what Bithia means?
Ready for this? Daughter of God. Why'd the Hebrews name her that? Why'd they give her that name? Daughter of God.
I'll unravel it as we go. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she didn't just leave it there. She did what any woman with any kind of mothering instinct would do. She sent a maid to fetch it. Go get that over there. Bring it to me. And when she had opened it, what did she see? She saw a child, 3 months old. She saw a child. And what did that do?
It stirred everything that God made in her as a woman instantly. She doesn't have any children. I personally believe she was very young. Very young. Very young, okay? Because you got to stay with me on that one because it comes in later. And she wanted that child. No. She wanted a child. And for some reason at that time, it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. I don't know why. I don't know what the protocol was for Egyptian daughters. I don't know if it had to be a state marriage or what. Probably. Who was the only wife of Solomon mentioned in the Bible? A daughter of Pharaoh. You think that's not significant? Yeah, it is. She's the only one that's specifically mentioned. The daughter of Pharaoh.
I take you to that verse, but I don't have time. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. Compassion. God, forgive me. And said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, what is the decree of the king? What is she
bound to do at this point? Pitch the ark and do what? Throw him in the river. Because a 3-month-old can't swim.
God's protection jumps in. Remember? Jochebed set a watch.
And the watch, look, what verse is that? 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and got the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Me. She has already claimed this child as her own. She has adopted it into the family. Another salvation message, ain't it? See, we don't give her enough credit. We don't give her enough credit. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. I did a little research on this.
Most of the Bible scholars who have looked at this agree that she weaned the child. End of story. How long does it take to wean a child? Moms? 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 One? Okay. In that culture, a little bit longer. But it goes anywhere from 1 to 4. Then. 4 is the extreme. Okay? So, I'm going with 3. She had Moses for 3. Did she raise Moses? Think about it. No.
That's right. She didn't raise Moses. Who remembers 3 years old? Give me your hand. I don't. And neither do you.
I am sure that in those 3 years, every square inch, ounce of her Hebrew love for the child and for God was squeezed into him. But he's three. He's three. Okay? So who gave us the deliverer? Who gave us 36 years with him? Huh? Was it Jochebed? No, siree. It was Bithiah. She saved Moses from three things. Got any ideas what they are? Three things. Probably more, but she saved him from three things. And it wasn't so much Jochebed. It was his mother. Who was his mother? Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter was his mother. That's who raised him. That's who taught him. That's why he was who he was.
Moses wasn't an idolater. He wasn't raised in the culture of Egypt. You say, yes, he was. No, he wasn't. What narrative are you reading? What narrative I've read through the years? No, that's not what's here. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, period. And she called his name. Who named him? Jochebed? Pharaoh's daughter named him. Bithiah named him. The daughter of God named him. And I'll get to that. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Who saved him from the water? Jochebed? Nope. It was her. She's the one that saved him from the water. Because I drew him out of the water. And then verse 11. Pastor, you'll like this. And it came to pass. What came to pass? 36 years. 36 years. I'm going to ask you the question again. Who was Moses' mother? It's an easy one now, isn't it? It's Pharaoh's daughter. She saved him from the river. Let's spiritualize that for a minute. Moms, in all the power that you possibly have, save your children from the world. The river's the world. If we're going to spiritualize this. And that's what we're going to do. And who saved him from the river? Jochebed? No. Pharaoh's daughter did. Protect your children as best you can for as long as you can from the river. My mother tried. I grew up on the Susquehanna River. You better not be down at that river today. And what do you think I did the second my feet hit the ground off that front porch? It's four steps, and I never touched a one every time I left the house. Boom. Hit the ground, and where do you think I went? Down to the river. But she didn't want me down there. Why? Because she didn't want to get that news that her son had drowned doing something stupid. We didn't usually go in the deep part. We were just catching snapping turtles and tormenting them.
She saved him from the river. She saved him from the world spiritually as well. You're like, Pharaoh's daughter saved him spiritually? Yep. Yep. Because Pharaoh's daughter raised him in the nurture and admonition of Jehovah. Because when he became 40 years old and killed that other Egyptian, he knew who he was, he knew who God was, and he took matters into his own hands, but he was raised a Hebrew in the house of Pharaoh. I know it goes against the grain, but it's right there. What else did she save him from? Three things.
She saved him from her father. She saved him from her father. She defied a king. Do you know what penalty that brings in those days? And I'm here to tell you right now, women were property in the Old Testament. Even the Pharaoh's daughter was property in the Old Testament to be sold off to the highest kingly bidder from another country in order to make things go good. That's what she was being saved for.
She saved, she defied a king, she defied a country, and she defied her family. And I'm here to tell you right now to the people of this church, you save mothers, you save your daughters from this government, the garbage in this country, and if you got lost family, you keep them away from them. You don't bring them around them all the time. That ain't preached anymore. What else did she save him from? She saved him from her culture. And what is that?
She saved him from her religion. Because he was not raised an Egyptian. He was raised a Hebrew in the house of Pharaoh.
How do I know that?
And it came to pass, verse 11, in those days when Moses was grown 40 years old, that he went out unto his Egyptian brethren. Is that what it says? No. Who told him who he was? Who told him these things? Who taught him these things? Jochebed? No. Pharaoh's daughter.
Now I'll prove it in just a few minutes. Hang on. She saved him from her culture, and her culture was religion, and her religion was pagan. It was idolatrous. It was evil.
And it was Pharaoh's daughter that did that. He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he risked all. The thing is, he did what Peter did, didn't he? Remember, Peter went, shing. Whew. And Jesus said, put up your sword, fix the ear. He did exactly what Peter did. This is what he's supposed to do. But it's not now. It's going to be later. And God's going to do all the work, not him. But he's got to learn that.
And he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. There's no love for the Egyptian culture there, is there? And who taught him that? His mother. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared, saying, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses.
And who told Moses to run? Who heard it first? She's Pharaoh's daughter. She's Pharaoh's daughter. Now the plot thickens. She hears what's going on in the palace. Her maids come running to her. Moses has killed an Egyptian. And her heart literally explodes. Pharaoh's going to kill my son. My son. So what does she do? She does exactly what she did on the day at that riverbank. She warns her son, you got to go now. And you got to ask yourself this question. What's the consequences of that? What's the consequences of that? She warns her son. Because he knows.
Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh at the warning of his mother. And dwelt in the land of Midian.
And he sat down by a well. Sound familiar? And he sat down by a well.
She preserved a deliverer. She ensured the lifting of Israel from bondage. She enabled the journey back to the promised land. She contributed to the dispensation of the law. I think it's time to venerate her, don't you? Bithia. Daughter of God.
You know, Egypt preserved Christ, didn't it? All this stuff, coincidence? No siree.
Now for the fun part. Turn to 1 Chronicles. If I can find it. Because when I get into one of these messages, it just pumps me up like caffeine.
Worse than caffeine. 1 Chronicles.
Do we ever hear about her again?
I wouldn't have you turn there if we didn't. Now there's a debate on this between Bible scholars, but I'm going with the guys that are going with me. Because I know who this is. I know what happened to her. I know where she went. Because when the Jews left Egypt 40 years later, she went with them. I told you, you ain't never heard this before.
1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, I ain't going to read down through all these names that you know I cannot pronounce and will butcher till the cows come home. Okay? So let's just skip the context for once in my life and spare me these names. However, at the very beginning of chapter 4, notice the first four words. Verse 1. The sons of Judah. Where does Jesus come from? The tribe of Judah. Who's going to come back when this thing's all done? The Lion of Judah. That's right. Now go over to verse 17. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. We can do this. And the sons of Ezra were Jether, look at the next name, and Mered, remember that name, and Epher, and Jalon, and she bare Miriam, and Shammai, and Ishba, the father of, and I'm not going to try that one. And his wife Jehudiah bare Jared, the father of Gedor, and Heber, the father of Soko, and I'm not doing that one either, the father of Zanoah. And these are the sons of, and these are the sons of, really? They're the sons of who? Bithia, the daughter of Pharaoh, which Mered took. You know why her Hebrew name is daughter of God? Because she's a convert. She's saved. She is born again in an Old Testament sense. And she raised her son, a saved, born-again man, with his Hebrew heritage on the tip of his tongue. Pure speculation right now. Okay? Can I do that? When Moses slipped the noose after killing that Egyptian, who took the fall? Who warned him? You just said it. His mother. That's right. When Moses slipped the noose and escaped Egypt, who got called in to the royal palace in front of her father? Who got called in? Bithia did. You told him, didn't you? And I can see her saying, yes, I did. I can. He's my son. And you know what he said? You are no longer my daughter. You want to be a Hebrew? You're with them. She married Mered. She had children. And when Moses comes back, I believe she was still alive and saw that Red Sea split. Type of Christ. Moses predicted in Deuteronomy 18:15 that God would raise up a prophet like him, a prophecy fulfilled by Jesus who brought new teachings and authority. He's like Christ in that he's like a prophet. He was the mediator of a covenant. Moses mediated the old covenant of the law on Mount Sinai, while Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, grace and truth, fulfilling the law. He was the deliverer from bondage. Moses led the Israelites out of the slavery in Egypt, foreshadowing Jesus delivering humanity from the slavery of sin. He was a life saver, from danger and infancy. Both Moses and Jesus were threatened by a king wanting to kill them as infants and were protected by God. He was an intercessor for the people. Moses was willing to sacrifice himself for the people. Exodus 32:32, and I can't go to these verses for time. Mirroring Jesus' ultimate sacrifice of laying down his life. He worked miracles, both demonstrating miraculous power. Moses with the Red Sea and the plagues, and Jesus through healing and natural miracles. Moses fasted for 40 days on the mountain before receiving the law, just as Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness before beginning his ministry. Moses provided manna from heaven for the Israelites, foreshadowing Jesus as the true bread from heaven. Jesus compared himself to the bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, stating that he must be lifted up on the cross to provide eternal life to those who look to him. Moses was frequently rejected or murmured against by the Israelites. He was trying to save. And look what happened to Jesus. And who raised that man? Pharaoh's daughter. She saved him from the river. She saved him from her father, and she saved him from her religion and her culture. What a mother. Stand with your heads bowed. So many salvation messages in that passage of scripture. I think I could preach salvation messages for 4 or 5 weeks just coming out of there. Mothers, do me a favor. Emulate the daughter of Pharaoh. Young, would-be, future mothers, emulate the daughter of Pharaoh. And do exactly what she did as she plays.